Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm Emily Harmon. I provide wine consultancy for restaurants, bars, hotels. Basically, I would say I help restaurants with their wine list, manage their suppliers. Most of the work that I do is to do with wine training, so teams that don't necessarily have wine expertise in the restaurant. So training waiters, managers on the wines that are on the list. And then on the side doing like some educational stuff, some seminars for different people, occasionally blogging and general advice also for private customers too, and for events.
Cool. My description of my job's going to be much shorter. Hi, I'm Gwen Douglas.
And I draw on people.
Oh yeah, exactly. I draw on people for a living.
Way more fun.
Yeah, well, I don't know. For me, maybe not for them. And otherwise, on the side, I like to do illustrations, paintings and whatnot, also for commission, and I like to drink wine. I've been my own boss for about 13 years, so since 2005. I made me sound like a republic or something, like, and when did you claim independence? It was like, from 2005 in June, I became... The Independent Republic of Gwen Douglas tattooer.
Yeah.
And when did you start in wine?
I started working in restaurants when I was 14, so 15 years ago, waitressing. And I guess then I sort of got my interest in food. I was only working in like a basic pizza restaurant called Pizza Organic.
Oh, fancy.
Sorry, I know it sounds...
Not that snappy of a name.
It's terrible.
Does it really roll off the tongue?
I know, they were like a chain, and it's like, it's unbelievable that they were sort of, I think they've all closed down now.
Where was that?
Surprisingly. That was in Red Hill in Surrey. So I did that part time when I was still studying. And weirdly, like, just before I was 16, I had keys to the restaurant. I was one of the supervisors. It was
like, we kind of had something similar, actually. I was also a management around pretty young.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like, I still can't believe somebody would give keys to a restaurant to a 16-year-old.
Well, I didn't have, maybe it was a nightclub, but I was about 18, 19, and I was like assistant manager at one of the biggest nightclubs in the city I lived in. It's like, what were they thinking?
Sounds much more glamorous than my pizza restaurant.
Oh, man. I did also work in a 50s diner and a buffet. Nobody wants to be a waitress at a buffet place. Oh, it was horrible. We
really?
Also had like drink quotas. Like you had to serve a certain amount of alcohol per person. And if you didn't consistently meet that target, you would get fired. Yeah, we had secret shoppers came in quite often. Like once a month would come in and check on us. But anyway,
continue.
I always
wanted to do that.
I was a secret shopper for Guinness once. That was fun. Anyway, 16, Pizza Organic.
Pizza Organic.
Keys to the restaurant.
Keys to the restaurant, unbelievably. And then moved to Australia. And I think had a bit of an identity or location crisis, if you like. Didn't quite settle in initially, so decided not to continue with my studies and decided to carry on working.
What were you studying at that point?
Well, I was college alternative.
Yeah.
So I was doing history, human biology, government and politics.
What a mixed bag of stuff.
English literature. Yeah, I know. I know. And then... But I wanted to do like photo media or something like that at university. So I was like, oh, that can wait. I actually was quite lucky. My parents were quite understanding and said, you don't need to do your studies immediately.
That was very rude of me.
It's okay. I forgive you
this time.
But then I started working in this restaurant, and that's really where I think I started to get my interest in wine, because we had a wine list at the restaurant I was working at in Mandurah in Western Australia that had a lot of wines from Western Australia. Where
cool.
We lived was like 2 hours north of a wine region called Margaret River,
yep.
Which is still one of my all-time favourite places in the whole world to visit, because
yeah,
it's
cool.
So stunning. That's when I really actually got into like drinking Sauvignon Blanc and like SSBs, Sauvignon Blanc Semillon blends. And visited wineries. And it was still like, I think at that point I loved working in restaurants. There was just something about the energy of being part of a team.
Totally.
Getting to see all this amazing food, getting to eat like with discount, drink with discount.
I do feel like that, like the people that work in service, you know, like once you've worked in it, it's almost for life, that sort of feeling of, yeah, because I always think if I couldn't be a tattooer now, it's absolutely the first thing I would do is go back to working in service, because I loved it. And I feel like working in my job is pretty similar. I offer a service, I create an environment for someone to enjoy an experience, you know? I mean, they're bleeding more than your clients are, but otherwise, yeah, you want someone to come away feeling that everything was just right, their needs were anticipated, that they leave happy and got value for money.
Why is that still going off?
I mean, we just talked about it. I think that's. I just enjoyed it. And then I guess I was getting to go out, eating, drinking. And then I moved back to the UK at the age of 18. So I was already into wine at like 17.
Just crazy because like I was drinking like the shittest wines when I was like living on my own. Like the buffet place had probably the most awful wine list known to man. And like I probably drank cases and cases of like Jackson Triggs Chardonnay.
But most people do.
Like just like I can visualize right now my recycling bin at the end of the driveway of just bottles of that. Just so much of it. Horrible. Terrible. There was like a Verdicchio. Like there was some of these wines and we had lots of stuff that was like in boxes. And because the buffet served by the glass out of liter carafes. And we were trained to like, we were actually real pushers. You had to put the bottle on the table and be like, help yourself. You'll just be charged for what you, like, pay for what you pour.
It's such a good trick. There's a restaurant around the corner that does that.
Yeah,
you ask for a glass, they pour you the glass.
Yeah, and they just put it there.
Leave the bottle with you and it's like, if you want to help yourself.
Help yourself. I think the only thing that was awful is that when I turned 18 and started working in the service bar, I knew what happened to those carafes beyond at the table. Because those bottles were just getting married together over and over and over. It's like you just don't know. There's like it's like some weird. It's like the Solera system of buy the glass wines. Like there's probably wine in there from like
buffet
the
mid
80s. Yeah, exactly. Like from the 80s, still floating around in there. Oh my God. So I think it took me longer to discover nice wines.
It's making me laugh. Like it's an interesting. It was an interesting thing, and I think. There I sort of would be able to know what I sort of liked. And I guess then I had a stage of drinking New Zealand Sauvignon, which I think a lot of people do because it's a good...
Because it's yummy.
And it's an...
entry, it's easy.
It's an entry to wine. It's the first wine that you can taste and you can actually... For me, it was like... I think that's when my wine palate started to...
Right.
When I started to develop it.
Because you can start identify things.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, exactly. Oh my God, this really does smell like blackcurrant.
Yeah.
This really does smell like grapefruit. My God, it really does smell like cat's piss, you know? And I just remember drinking bottles of it. And I worked at this restaurant in Surrey, which is now closed, called the Westerly. Oh, yes, please. I'd love to have some more. And I started working there. So I was 18 and I did a brief stint as cabin crew. Then I went to...
You did some cabin crew?
Yeah, for 6
really?
Months.
Really? Oh my God, frightening.
Yeah. I kind of liked it though, like traveling around seeing places, but I just found the job like not mentally stimulating enough for me. And then I went to work at this place called the Westerly, which had then at the time had a Michelin Bib Gourmand, so like the step yep. under a star. And like Jay Rayner had just reviewed it like a week after I started working there, so they were on like the sixth page of I think the Observer, and they're fully booked. Like I've actually been really quite lucky in a lot of my jobs that I've worked at places. Then all of a sudden they become like
they've
quite
taken
well-known.
Off. Yeah. That's cool.
And there we had a wine list that was put together exclusively by one of the wine suppliers, Le Cave de Pérenne, which is. Mm-hmm. They're based in Guildford in Surrey as well.
And funnily enough, it's where I grew up as well.
Yeah, I know, it's funny.
Yeah, in that area.
And there's like a Bible. They call it like a wine Bible. It's like, it's huge, this book. And there's like pages. So it's a catalogue of the wines with the pricing. Actually, there's no pricing, just a catalogue of the wines. And then there's like little poems and stories and information on all
cool.
the producers and like silly jokes. And I just started reading that in my spare time. And I started taking wine home from the restaurant, and Cynthia and John were really into wine as well. So they would say, oh, you've got to try this. So I was just did the wine training yesterday at the mm-hmm. Mickelberger. And I said to the guys, like one of the blind, sorry, today, it wasn't even yesterday. and one of the blind wines I gave them was, Foradori Toroldego, the entry level. And I said to them, oh my God, I've been drinking this wine for over 10 years. I ate at Marcus Waring at the Barclay, which I can't remember if it was 2 or 3 star at the time. And I went there for a lunch. I was 19.
Jeez Louise.
It was ridiculous. Yeah, I was like saved up all my money to go for the like 8-course lunch. And the two wines, Foradori was one of the wines I had at that lunch. I chose it from the wine list because I was like, I know that wine is delicious.
Yeah.
And I can afford it.
Yeah.
It was like £38 on the list. Obviously, it's more expensive now, but... Yeah, and that was what I really got into the wine there. And then I think really got into food because it was amazing, the food there. The quality of the food for the price of that restaurant was ridiculous at the Westerly.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to open my own restaurant. and I imagined that I would be like a restaurant manager, like an owner. I didn't ever think I would have a wine role until then. I worked at the River Cafe where they had a sommelier team. And again, like, was just buying ridiculous amounts of wine to the point where, like, Charles Pullen, one of the managers who's still there today, he sat me down and was like, Emily, we've had a look at, like, your staff account, because they take it out of your pay every month. We had a look at your staff account, and we've noticed that, like, every month you're spending more and more money. And we've just noticed that, like, this last month you spent £400.
Oh, my God.
On, you know, wine, basically. I came into, you're allowed to come in and eat once a month as well, so it's a bit of food. And I said, yeah. And I said, oh, am I not allowed to buy that much? And
yeah.
He said, it's not so much that. We just want to make sure that
you can live.
Money to live. Yeah, because I was commuting from Surrey.
Oh,
so
my
I
God.
Would run. Because luckily there was, the restaurant has like a curfew that they have to close at 11 o'clock Monday to Thursday and then 11:20 Friday and Saturday because it's a residential area. So literally we would finish. Then we'd have to clean the restaurant and then I would sprint for the bus to get to Clapham to then get the train. And then I like it would take me about an hour and a half to get to and from like one way to get to work. But I wanted to work there and I was living in Surrey, so I was like, I'm going to do it. So I just kept buying lots of wine. And I remember a supplier came in once and said, oh, you're really into your wine, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And I said, have you got any tips to help me learn? And he said, yeah, just start writing down when you taste the wine, start writing notes on the wine. What can you taste? So I started buying books and I started writing these tasting notes and they were so basic. I wish I could find one because it's almost like when you see
so
like
lovely. Yeah,
it's almost when you see like
journals from when you're like
or
a teenager,
like a 3-year-old when they come back with their school homework and
marvelous.
You're like, oh, look at that basic spelling mistakes. It was like that. And and then I think it was really a hobby for me. Wine became like a hobby.
But I think that's what's interesting, because you started young. I think that's why, like, at the level you're at now, it's like, because you're quite young for the level you're at, I feel like.
Yeah, I think people are often surprised. Like, I've been...
But it's like you've been immersed in it for so long that it's sort of...
Yeah, I've got a lot of friends, like, some of my London friends who are older, that are probably... They have the same amount of experience, but they're just older. So they're maybe, you know, now I'm, you know, reaching 30, it's like, I think people are more... it's not so precocious anymore, but
I do think you just start,
but
I think you just started your interest in wine quite young. Cause I think like when I think about my interest, even in nicer food or in wine, it probably, you know, I probably didn't even start eating nice things until I was about 23. But you know, when I was working in restaurants, you know, I started in restaurants under 18. In Canada, you make nothing. You know, there's a
wage. Is the drinking age 18 there then?
It's 18 in Quebec.
Yeah.
It's, so it's 18 to tend bar, 16 to bring alcohol from the bar to a table, and 19 to drink in Ontario, 18 in Quebec. Yeah.
Cause in the UK, you can drink like a beer with your dinner at 16.
Yeah. No. 16, you can like serve a drink, but you can't drink it.
Okay.
But, yeah, like I was making nothing because minimum wage there is so low for waitresses. And when you're under 18, they're allowed to pay you even less. So I was making really nothing, really relying on tips. And I started as a hostess. So, you know, I worked as a hostess. I worked in the kitchen. I did everything. And that was like, by the time I was 18, the next step would have been to move into management. And that first restaurant didn't want to, they said I was too young. But I was like, I know all this, you know, nearly all the stations in the restaurant. And I'm head hostess, so I was already managing basically the floor. So I was like, yeah, if you don't want to promote me or give me a raise, then I'm out. And I left.
I'm going to the nightclub where they're going to give me a set of keys.
Yeah. In charge of the safe. It was good. No, but like even at the bar, you know, I started there when I was, 19. And originally I worked in the tiki bar. There was a little tiki bar in the basement. It's an old vaudeville theater, really beautiful building. And downstairs was the original like coat check for the theater. It was this weird little tiki bar, and I was starting to get into cocktails, and, you know, I think, there wasn't such a huge cocktail culture as there is now at the time, so we really didn't know what the hell we were doing. Like, I got, like, $20 a night budget to buy juices and whatnot, but otherwise, I would just read books about classic cocktails, and eventually when the management position opened, they offered it to me, but I really did not want to work in the nightclub upstairs because I was terrified of crowds and I was an alternative kind of looking girl and it was more of a like, you know, meat market kind of a, I just didn't think I'd fit in upstairs. So I had been promised that I could still manage and not have to ever work behind the bar upstairs. And about 3 months later, I ended up on full-time shifts upstairs, which sucked. But it helped me in my tattoo career because I wasn't the kind of girl that the men that went to that place were into. It meant that I had a lot of, because I was a bit alternative and I was tattooed. And I think for like the sort of, you know, top 40 kind of dudes that were going in there, they were just a bit put off by me. So my end of the bar was like, every girl knew if you came to my end of the bar, you'd get served first, which is unusual for a female bartender. So I was like the favorite for a lot of girls that came in. So when I eventually started tattooing, all those girls gave me a piece of skin to do something small. Yep. So it sort of carried me into even my tattoo career. I tattoo a lot more women than men. I like hanging out with girls. It's like fun. Yeah. I have a really good time. And even at the bar, especially when you see a lot of times in nightclubs, women aren't always taken care of, protected, looked after. I think it was nice to give that to the female patrons.
Yeah.
But around that time, I started dating a guy who was head chef at a restaurant called Becta in Canada, and it had newly opened. And he was also 23. We were both 23. And he was like, it was his first head chef position. And I spent a lot of time hanging out there. And that was when I first started
getting into food and realizing
that there was like wine beyond like the shitty wine that I'd been serving at, you know.
The Envy buffet.
Yeah.
Cuvée buffet.
Yeah. So, you know, it was nice to, and I was like fascinated by the Psalms there and, you know, it was like a magic show when they would talk about wine and pairing wines. And I always really loved the idea of pairing things and that two things could complement each other, the way colors complement each other, you know, things vibrate together and that you can enhance things by mixing flavors. But yeah, I loved that. Also seeing service done well, because I'd only ever worked in sort of lower end restaurants, to suddenly see things like attention to detail on like the sound that footwear makes or, you know, the color of things or how things are placed. I loved that detail-oriented sort of thing.
But with the tattooing, when did you start doing that? So you were doing that, you were studying that while you were at the nightclub, or it just started just before that? Or
so I started working in service because I was in university, which I also gave up on halfway through.
A lot of people do. I think we're sort of indoctrinated to think like we have to study, you must study, your life will not be a success if you do not study more. And actually, we're not.
Then you get into
life.
We're not
given other options.
No, yeah. And then you realize that like life happens. And, you know, now when I talk to my father, I, you know, I'm one of the few in my family that's not university educated completely. And, you know, my dad always says he probably would have gone into trades if he were to do it again. Cause there's something so satisfying about doing something with your hands, like working with real people, with a work that satisfies you instantly, where you see results. You know, he works as a scientist, so you don't always get to see what the end outcome is. But yeah, so I was, the whole point of working in bars and restaurants was to facilitate me going to school. And then the balance slowly started shifting that I enjoyed spending time at work more.
Mm.
I feel like with the bubbles we're drinking, there's going to be a lot of burping from me.
That's okay. There's it. Should we make a no judgment burp rule?
A no judgment burp rule. Cause otherwise I'm going to be
this
doing
is a safe place where you can burp. I'm going to be doing
that.
Like.
I'm going to be doing that awkward thing where you're like, trying to like talk through the burp, like,
and
not
hide the burp. That's the
I'm
worst.
Not going to hide the burp. I'm just going to let them free. So I just wanted to put that out there as a warning.
That's okay. Yeah. So when you hear that noise, you know what it is.
I do love asking people what they studied before they went into their jobs. Cause I always think it's quite funny.
Yeah. I wanted to do photography.
I wanted to be a lawyer. Like, what happened?
I did consider that at one point, and then I was like,
too much school. Yeah. I have a friend who's a tattooer, and I remember asking him, what did you do? Like, you went to university. What do you have a degree in? Medieval languages. What were you going to do with that?
That is, but I guess, you know, as well, I feel differently about education now, you know, because I've been thinking about taking up some more education. And I was thinking, you know, for me, it's like I see education... I mean, I have my job and of course I have to educate myself and keep myself informed and up to date for that anyway. So I'm kind of quite lucky that I'm always learning. But in terms of like other topics, let's say outside of the world of wine,
I was thinking about it because I was like, oh, would I ever give up my job? Would I ever do anything else? If I did, what would I do? You know, those sort of deep little thoughtful moments to myself.
But I think it's good to have those moments.
Yeah, I do it too a lot. And then I thought, do you know what? I think it's so cool if I wanted to do a course in something, you know, like with the clay, you got me into like making things out of clay. So now you've
seen. Therapeutic.
I don't know if you've, have you seen
them? Oh, yeah, no, they're
cool.
There's
a donkey and a kangaroo and everything.
We might have to post photos of these on the Instagram page for you to see the ceramic donkey.
Not the kangaroo because he doesn't stand up straight.
And he's tired.
Yeah, because I made him wrong. But, you know, and I thought it's so good for your, like,
brain.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's a muscle. You have to exercise it.
Yeah, it needs stimulating. And I think that's how I see education now. It's like I don't see it as something that's necessarily, okay, I'm going to do this course so then I can do this. It's more like I'm going to do this because it's going to enrich my knowledge.
Right.
It's interesting to do
it. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like going to a gallery, exactly. What to get out of it.
Or like, I love reading books about like royal history, like monarchy from different countries.
I've got quite a few books on Stoic philosophy at the moment. I'm reading Seneca.
I was reading Keats the other day, like for no reason, just like, oh, I feel like reading some romantic poetry.
It's nice.
Like, have a glass of wine and like read myself some poetry. It's lovely.
I did have a stage where I remember when I first came to Berlin, had a breakup before. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to Berlin, going out by my own, on my own, by my own.
I don't know, I like the by my own, it's got more like a street vibe to it.
Going out by my own. And again, it sounds terrible. Sorry, mum and dad, for my poor English. But and I was going out by myself. And I remember I'd been to the museum, like Hamburger Bahnhof.
Yeah.
And I bought this Andy Warhol book, like called The Philosophy of Andy Warhol. Have you read it?
No, but I did go through an Andy Warhol phase where I was like reading everything Ultraviolet had put out.
It's so entertaining. Yeah. And it's just like these little snippets and comments the whole way through. And,
awesome.
And I was going out like in the evenings to different cocktail bars with my Andy Warhol book, drinking
martinis. What a barfly. What a barfly, just hanging out by yourself, drinking martinis and reading about Warhol.
And I texted a school friend of mine, and I told him, and he was like, oh my God, like, you are so fucking cliche right now. Like, who do you think you are? He's like, I would not get this text message from anybody else. I was like, yeah, I know. I sound like a complete hipster wanker.
Yeah.
But actually, it feels bloody great, good. Yeah. And,
It's funny, there's like, my new thing is like, I love audiobooks so much, just like wandering around the city. But you know, sometimes you'd like to wallow in I did it recently where I was like not feeling that great at the end of winter and downloaded possibly the worst book that I could have been listening to wandering around solo, listening to like Walden. Like, let's just listen to a book about being like alone and feeling miserable and like in the woods. Not a good idea. Now I'm listening to the UK Top 40. I feel much better on my way to work. You have to balance it.